it's rain and tacos. Hallelujah, it's rain and tacos.
I don't even know what to do anymore.
I
know what to do. Open. Greetings, Apropossi, and buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos Nothing Podcast.
With your hosts.
Salsa.
James.
And Jenna.
Yay.
Woo.
I have a
guest, Craig.
Craig.
I have a
beer. I don't
know
if he's a guest. You have a beer? What kind of beer do you have?
It's Spotted Cow. I'm drinking it.
Hey.
Nice. Good call. I'm drinking the equivalent of a two gingers. Or a big ginger, sorry. It's got two gingers whiskey and then ginger ale.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also the lemonade ginger ale.
Oh, so it's got a little extra, like a shandy.
Yeah, like that, only without the grossness of a shandy.
Sure.
And then, but it does have grossness because I got the zero sugar. And I was like, well, if I'm using these for mixers, it's probably not going to be a big deal. It is. I can taste all of the industry right in there.
It's got to be aspartame.
So, anyway, not buying that again, but figured I'd give it a try because I'm trying to cut back on my sugars and take care of my body like an old person.
Boo.
I know.
As one does.
But only when they get old, James. You know what
this
means?
When they're still young and they've had an incredibly adventurous life. Like Salsa.
No, his life hasn't been nearly as adventurous as mine.
I'm also not that young anymore.
What?
I'm older than you are, James. What the hell?
Calmer than you are, dude. Calmer than you are.
Well, I'm oldest one here, so piss off.
What I've got to drink... has unexpected consequences with a mixture between the vodka and the tonic water. So it's a little cloudy, but this is infused vodka. It's vodka that's been infused with Earl Grey tea.
Yeah.
Supplied by the lovely Emily Notek. So I'll give this a shot.
I actually saw Emily the other day. It was quite delightful.
Speaking of delightful, this is very good.
Is it also delicious and lovely?
I mean, I would assume so, yes.
You're the one drinking it. You don't need to assume. You could just, like, tell us.
But it's also when you assume, you are sometimes correct.
Yeah, but if you just...
But if
take
I,
what
if
your
I
taste buds tell you, then
I'm
you
never correct.
Are...
Look, me and my boxes can leave if the two of you want to have an argument.
Craig.
You could argue with Craig.
I don't know why I bother. Don't know why I bother.
I don't know why you bother either, Salsa.
I don't know why I bother.
I don't know why you bother. I'm not sure what you're bothering about, but I don't know why you do it. Hey, everybody, what you been up to?
Jesus.
I did a Renaissance festival.
Yeah,
is that why your throat sounds a little hoarse, or is it a...
wee bit.
You kind of sound like you've been shoving swords down your throat all weekend.
It's honestly, it's not even the swords. It's just the fact that I haven't done my show in so long that I forgot how to project properly.
Oh, God.
So I blew out my voice on the first day.
Oh, honey.
Which, in a way, was good because the second day, because my voice was blown out, I had to use it properly in order to use it. And so it was like, oh yeah, this is how to do this without hurting myself. But yeah, that first day, it was, you know, everything was rusty and I had forgotten how to use it correctly. And so it was just like, And so, yeah, I roughed it up pretty good. But no, it was great. It was, the weather was fantastic. This was the Renaissance Festival of Nebraska out at the Bellevue Berry Farm. It's just south of Omaha. And it the weather both days was in the mid-70s. So just fantastic. It was really windy on Saturday, which made the fire interesting. But no, it let up on Sunday, and there was some overcast on Sunday. So the fire was really, really nice. But okay. The crowds were huge. I want to say, I think I overheard some people walk past my camper on Saturday night saying they had 4,700 people in the gate, which for a small festival like that is a big fucking number. It was really good crowds. People were into it. They were there. They were ready to be entertained. They were having fun. They were into it. It was a good time. But yeah, drove down there uneventfully. Got all set up and everything like that. And I love doing these little festivals. I've talked about this before because, like, I wake up at 8, which is when when Minnesota opens.
the cast call is at 8.
Yeah, but
yeah.
But like that's ready. Yeah, exactly. Point, so. Like that's where we have to be.
Day starts.
Exactly. Yeah. So like that's when my alarm clock went off, was at 8, and then I finally got out of bed at 8:30, and then I got dressed and cooked breakfast, and then I ate breakfast. And then at around 10:30, I went, I should probably head over to the stage. And then like half an hour later, I went over to the stage. It was just like, and like, yeah, like at Minnesota at 8 o'clock, you're going, you're doing the thing that you have to do. And here it was just like, I guess I'll wake up maybe. But yeah, no,
it's
nice.
What time did they open again?
10. But my first show was 11:15.
Sure.
Wow.
But still, even opening an hour difference just kind of,
it's huge. And I do a lot of festivals that are either 10 to 5 or 10 to 6. Uh-huh. And after, you know, as many years of doing Minnesota as I have, like they're just so relaxing, cuz in my head is in festival mode, you know, and so I just like this is what I need to do and stuff like that. And so I hop up and I get ready and then I sit for an hour going, okay, well, I guess I'll just wait here then. So I have learned to, you know, cook breakfast and stuff like that, which I wouldn't do at Minnesota. And just kind of take the morning and
be nice chill and relaxed chill. About it.
Exactly. Yeah. But yeah, no, great shows. We had scattered thunderstorms on Saturday night, and like they said, the wind was like 15 to 20 miles an hour, gusty and stuff like that. So my little pop up was pitching around a little bit. You know, the canvas sides were flapping quite a bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, they kept me dry, and honestly, it wasn't so much the wind; it was the dogs, because they had some dogs at this farm that were barking all fucking night. And then
it's not the wind, it's the humidity.
That is actually the first thing that popped through my brain too. And then I set it aside.
No, but the dogs would bark and then they'd kind of settle down. And then a coyote would yip in the distance and the dogs would go ape shit again. And this farm also has a couple peacocks. And so they would start to cackle and, just like, shut the fuck up, I'm trying to sleep. But I have I had a new toy to keep myself entertained during those cold, lonely evenings.
Oh, was it a Slinky?
No, it's not as good as a Slinky.
Was it a Magic 8-Ball?
Now you're just making me depressed of the things I could have had, Jenna.
Was it a Slinky with a Magic 8-Ball on the end?
I wish. Ooh.
What was it, Salsa?
Because then you'd get an answer, and then it would go boring, and then you'd get another answer, and go boring, and then another answer.
Or you could roll it down some stairs. Yes. No. Ask later.
Science poison, no.
Sounds unclear.
No, I used to have a Nintendo DS for trips like this, and I lost it somewhere, somehow along the line years back. And I was hoping to be able to find it when we moved, and it just never turned up. So I think it's gone. But it was just like, well, I'm going to go pick up another DS to keep myself occupied on these trips. And my wife was like, well, why don't you just get a Switch Lite? And I went...
As opposed to a light switch.
Yeah. No, then the light went on.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Nope, but it was like, holy shit, you're right. Why don't I just do that? And so I did.
Yay.
But so, yeah, no, I played Breath of the Wild for most of my downtime. Nice. And they had just rebuilt the stage that I perform at down there.
Oh,
and man. It had outlets. And whoa, so, yeah. So I would play the Switch at night. And then during the day, I just plug my Switch in at the stage. And yeah. And then after my show, I'd go backstage and play Switch a bit. So, yeah. No, a lot of Breath of the Wild was played over the weekend. But then, yeah, I wrapped it up. Sunday was, like I said, there was storms on Saturday night, so Sunday was kind of humid, and church crowds didn't get there until late, and then people fucked off early. So by the time my last show of the day was there on Sunday, there was no one there. So I just said, fuck it. Packed it up and came home uneventfully, you know, which is the best way to do it, really.
True. Yeah. This makes sense to me.
Which was all the more exciting because my daughter tested positive for COVID a few days ago. So she's doing much better, yeah, but she's still testing positive.
I was going to ask if she was having any symptoms or if
she's got a sore throat and she, you know, fever and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But it was just like, she's testing positive. I'm going to be going to do a festival. So instead of having her quarantine, I was the one quarantining in our house. Like, I slept in the basement on Wednesday and Thursday night, so I didn't catch COVID, so I could do this show.
Right.
Because otherwise, I would be the primary caretaker for her. But it was just like, nope, you need to stay healthy because you're off to do a thing. So it feels really nice to finally be able to sleep in my bed again after 4 days.
I bet. Yeah, that makes sense.
So, anyway, it wasn't Ken. Next weekend, I do it all again.
Woo! Where are you next weekend? Same place?
No, next weekend I'm at Fantasy of the Lakes, which is in Lindstrom, Minnesota.
Oh, Lindstrom is adorable.
Isn't it, though?
It's the cutest little fucking nowheresville town in Minnesota ever. It's just so cute.
Just about an hour and a half north, and the festival is one of the parks on the lake, so it's going to have a beautiful backdrop for it.
Oh, nice.
I'll be doing two shows a day there.
Very cool. So,
for those in the Twin Cities that want to come see a small little festival that's, you know, pretty low-key and not as intense as Minnesota, come on up.
I'm going to be a little busy this weekend.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I get my keys this weekend.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm still trying to get a hold of the landlord to figure out what time I can get those keys so that I can plan out the rest of my Sunday. Because I'd love to get my storage locker emptied out the same day, but if he can't give me keys until later that day, then maybe I can't. But I also want to have help, and I can't coordinate help if I don't know what time I'll be doing it. So, yeah. Anyway. Last weekend, I closed my show. It was really, we actually got really good attendance overall.
Fantastic.
Like, it was impressive, actually. I was like, oh. Well, hot damn. I got several people told me that the short play that I produced was what was it? Oh gosh. No, I And I may have said this last week because I don't remember when I got the compliment, but vaguely Lynchian.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Shit.
delightfully nebulous and vaguely Lynchian.
Hmm.
That was the phrase.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, yes, Salsa.
What does that mean?
So David Lynch is a director and producer.
I've heard the name, but...
Yeah, he does... he did the... No, he didn't do that. Fuck. What am I thinking of?
Twin Peaks.
That and wasn't Doom. What I was thinking of. No, older. The one with the glasses and the subliminal messaging.
Oh, They Live.
They Live.
Yeah.
If you don't know that movie from the, 80s? 70s? 80s?
Yeah.
90s? Somewhere in there? From back in the day, then I don't know what else you would be able to glom onto. He's done a whole bunch of different stuff.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
He's very, very prolific, but okay. If you haven't assigned that name to his work, then I don't know. But Lynch is
trying to describe what that means is.
Yeah, Lynch is definitely known for taking things in weird directions. Kind of. I think the best description is that he creates film to express a feeling and not necessarily a story.
Mm-hmm.
So like they live is a story about their aliens live among us, but we can't see them. Spoiler. Mm-hmm. and there's special glasses. If you wear the special glasses, then you can see
the aliens. One with Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Exactly. Yes, that's the one.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've seen that.
That's Lynch. Oh, okay. Yep, okay. That's Lynchian. That's actually what he's best known for, I think.
So there was just an 8-minute fight scene in the middle of your show.
God, I wish.
With Rowdy Roddy Piper, yes.
Yeah.
You should have seen it.
Showed up. Yeah, seriously. Amazing. Sorry to bury the lead on that one.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, he said it was an honor to work with the Jenna Young. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. But no, it's the
He'd heard about her in a bathroom.
Yeah.
As one does.
That's where my word gets around. But no, so Lynch's the feeling that he's trying to convey in that one is kind of this off-put, people are always watching and conspiracy
sure,
type thing,
yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. It's not as much about the story as it is the world surrounding it and the feelings that you get off of that circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, considering that my piece was an 8-minute dream state, pretty okay with having it described as delightfully nebulous and vaguely Lynchian.
Yeah, that doesn't seem long enough to put a big fight scene in the middle of it.
I mean, the whole thing could be a fight scene. And if any one of the three of us was going to make that happen, I would expect it to be Jenna.
I
would also expect it to be completely managed from top to bottom.
Jenna and versus Rowdy Roddy Piper, I would watch that in a heartbeat.
Shit, yes.
I mean, I did do a show where I did the interstitials with a fight partner, and that's all we did was fight.
I love it.
And then at the very end, I had this guy in this arm lock, and he's like, fine, I'll do the dishes, and that was it.
Love it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But that was the rest of it was just fighting. It was great. One of my best works.
Yeah.
anyway, so yeah, closed that show this weekend, which was delightful. Nice. Let's see. I'm working backwards, which I don't normally do. Friday. What did I do Friday? Oh, I went to see the original Godzilla with Matt Kesson.
Holy shit. Holy shit.
I know, right?
That would be the way to watch it.
You could have sold tickets. It was a few of us. Kesson gave me like a fucking history lesson before this going into it. And pointed out various aspects of like things that they had incorporated in for the symbolism. He gave me where relations were between Japan and the U.S. during the time of this release and how we got there. Oh. He gave me like just all of this information before going into it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he did it fairly quickly. I was like, you've done this before. He's like, yes, I have.
That was my first show.
And then I got to watch it in a theater, and then we went out to Merlin's afterwards and talked about that, and favorite bits and where various themes showed up. And then we digressed into other things because there's only really so long you can talk about. There's only so long I can talk about Godzilla.
There,
I suppose.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure Preston could just keep going forever.
Several years now, actually.
Yes. I did that. And what did I do Thursday? I know I did something Thursday.
What were you doing Thursday?
I have no idea.
What were you doing
Thursday? I don't remember. Oh my God, this is so annoying.
Where are the bodies, Jenna?
In LA Valley, actually. They're finding a whole bunch of dead bodies now.
In a ditch in Iowa.
Oh my God. What were you excreting, Jenna? Jesus.
Meh. Bodies. It's
fuck. But yeah. If I think of Thursday, I'll come back to it. But then Wednesday, I went to Updown and hung out with some pretty awesome people and also James. So, you know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Actually the big thing was like, okay, so I got there like at the very beginning, like even before it had started, to hang out for Jax's birthday shindig. Mm-hmm. And, because I got early because that's what I do. And then right about the time I'm starting to get tired, my boyfriend is like, hey, I'm going to be off of work in a few minutes. Are you still at Updown? And I was like, yes, I am. And he's like, cool. We just need to close up here. We'll come over. So Joe came over with his buddy, Sean, because they both work together now. And they came over and they had just finished shift. So they were full of energy and like they had just, you know, been cussed. They hadn't done the relax out of work thing yet.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I'm tired, but now I have more people and so I can't leave. And so, Jackson James fucked off and there I was for another hour and a half. I didn't get to bed until like 2. And then I tried to wake up at 5:30 and failed. but it was a great time. There was a lot of lovely, games played. I may have beaten somebody at skee-ball.
Oh shit. Yep.
Yeah. You remember first thing out of the gate? That's what I did.
Do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Immediately shaming me.
Uh huh.
Immediately.
That's how I do. And I got to meet some cool people. We beat Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles as a collective.
Yeah.
That was fun.
That was
super fun.
Yeah,
I didn't have as good a run with pinball as I normally do. I was a little frustrated with that.
Everybody has those nights.
Yeah. But yeah, that was, and it was a delightful time getting to know people and play games. So
yeah,
that was pretty much me. I think. Mm-hmm. I think that's what I did. Is that what I did? I think so. I was trying to look and find out what I did Thursday, but I didn't put it on my calendar. So, James, what have you been up to?
A few things. The first thing being that, working backward, as one apparently does, Sunday, spent a bunch of time with different parents. Mine,
oh, that's right. Significant others. Mother's Day happened.
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
and then on Saturday attempted a date
Attempted a date.
That sounds ominous. And I, you know, I had said, yeah, I'll pick you up at 4:30 and we'll go and, you know, do all of these things and go see the movie Everything Everywhere All at Once, because I've seen it before and I definitely want this person to see it. But yeah, was not to be, since apparently all of the freeways in the metro were closed. Yeah, couldn't get on, couldn't get on 35W, couldn't get on 94.
So you just answered the age old question
of
to be or not to be. And it was not to be.
It was not to be. Well, I mean, we were still in a car together and had a good time telling each other stories and, made the most of it. But
can't take it back now, James.
Have to see that movie a different time. And yeah, it just fucking the day fell apart, but it ended up nice.
What movie?
Everything Everywhere.
Everything Everywhere. Yeah. Which I want to see real bad.
With Michelle Yeoh. Yeah. Oh,
that's the name of a movie?
Yeah. Yep.
Everything Everywhere.
All at once.
Mm-hmm. It's very popular and a big hit with the kids.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. Go into it with no expectations and they will be met.
I have no expectations.
Yeah.
Considering I just heard of it's called
Everything? All Everywhere.
Okay. Everything Everywhere. What?
Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Oh.
The title is long.
Yes. Okay. Sorry.
Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Okay.
Yeah, speaking of David Lynch.
Sounds like style. A very all-encompassing movie.
Mm.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. If you're
a little bit of something for everybody.
Sure. Yeah. I don't want to spoil anything and I don't want to set any expectations for anybody because there's a good chance that people may not like it, but I did.
I haven't seen it, but I've heard very good things about it. Mm-hmm. Very, very positive things, I guess. I haven't heard a lot because every time somebody starts to talk about it, I like cover my ears and go, la, 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 no spoilers, la, la, la.
Which is what Salsa does all the time.
No, that's what I do all the time.
Not the spoilers part. But just like people are here.
Wait, can I finish what I was going to say?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. So no, I have not seen it, but, it's very popular and it's already expected to be nominated for several awards. It's not artsy, but it is fun is my understanding.
I usually give recommendations based on other things that people have enjoyed. And so, if you like, films like Baron Munchausen, Time Bandits, other films by,
Terry Gilliam.
Yep. If you like, there were a bunch that I had that were similar, but
Brazil.
Yeah, David Lynch. If you like a weird film, that's kind of a head trip. Then this is
Terry Gilliam is the one that I hear brought out the most in comparison for it.
I would also say it's like it's got elements of Donnie Darko. It's got elements of a lot of the like real fucking weird movies that I've enjoyed. So, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I want to bring them to see this, but Saturday was not the day for it. And ended up watching more of Twin Peaks, which is why that was at the front of my brain when you said David
Lynch.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yep. So there's that. And Friday, Jax has a tradition of going to the Mall of America close to their birthday, the week of their birthday, in order to get as many free birthday or discounted birthday things as they possibly can. And so we probably hit like 7 or 8 places.
Okay.
And had an amazing evening of just like going and getting things and yeah, just looking at stuff.
Did you get Froyo?
We didn't. Is there a Froyo place that has a birthday thing?
I have no idea. I would assume if there was a Froyo place, they would have a birthday thing.
I know that they used to have a gelato place that had some discounts and things like that.
But
of the discounts are just like you show up, you prove that it's the week of your birthday, and they go, take these things. Like Sephora and Ulta and a couple of places like that. But then there are other places where you get coupons for being in the rewards programs and that kind of stuff. They send you birthday week coupons.
Yep.
And so also hitting up Lush and some of the coffee places and hitting up what's the name of it? Torrid and just a fucking shitload of other places. I am continually surprised. Yeah. Hot Topic, Lunchbox, all kinds of stuff. So it was a fun evening, and it reminded me a lot of going to malls when I was a kid, which is weird for me because that's kind of a past thing. But no, it was a super nice experience. They have only just let me in on this tradition of theirs this year and the last year. So
okay,
it's been nice. Wednesday, I was at Up Down for part of the night. Went and did anime. Watched Evangelion.
I've been told I'm not allowed to watch that one.
Oh shit.
I've been told that one will just fuck me right the hell up.
You've suffered enough.
suffered enough. Thank you.
But it reminded me, like it brought up like all of my high school anxiety and suffering and everything else just like welled up. It was really fucked up. It's the movie versions are a really good way to take it in if you decide to, but it's a lot. Speaking of David Lynch shit, like that's off the diving board.
Well, I mean, this is also the reason why I don't watch Twin Peaks either.
Fair enough.
So,
but yeah, it was a good experience watching it with the anime club, but also emotionally poignant. And then went back to Up Down for the rest of the evening. Played Turtles. Yeah.
Played Turtles.
Great time.
We played Turtles.
Yeah. Pinball and all of that stuff.
I did remember what I did on Thursday.
Oh, what did you do on Thursday?
I saw a Monster Science duo show with Reverend Matt and Shannon Custer. Yeah, that was fucking hella great, y'all. You missed a goddamn show. They were touching on Victorian era issues. So there was some Mary Shelley. There was a lot to do with like seance and Ouija. There was, oh God, vampires, of course, and like other what have yous.
Spring-heeled Jack and things like that.
Maybe. I don't remember. But what, so Kesson was talking about these monsters, but Shannon was also, she was a Victorian lady writing to her dearest Edmund. And just delightfully ditzy in character and presentation. And then after a while, Kesson got to sit in and be Edmund responding.
Nice.
Except that their letters weren't getting to each other, and it was like a weird, like kind of She basically got replaced by her sister.
Ooh.
Right? But we find out about all of it through Victorian letters.
Sure,
being
yeah.
Read aloud as they're being written. It was glorious.
That framing.
Yeah, and it meshed so well. It was
that
so
sounds amazing.
Good. Their energy together was great. At one point, Kesson did a bit where he interviewed Mary Shelley. And Shannon was Mary Shelley, and it was improv. It was straight up improv. Kesson had some questions, and she just had to fucking make it up.
Fuck.
It was great.
That sounds delightful.
God, the whole damn evening was an absolute delight. So yeah, I'd recommend it, but meh. You snooze, you lose, bitches.
Well, there's always that.
Mm.
On Tuesday was the celebration of Jax's birthday proper, and we had a super nice dinner.
Aww.
Over at Moto Wii, and it happened to be exactly right because they were having a beer week and a sake week thing. And the waiter was like, I don't know if you'll be interested in this, but there's a cheese and pickles platter.
You have already said the magic words.
That right, and I was like,
but there's a cheese.
For the love
yes,
of God, you got it. Yes, yeah, no, I felt a little bad because I like cut him off, which will surprise Jenna. But I was like, yes, you said the words that are, and he's like, it comes with a flight of sake. And I was like, for the love of God, yes, please.
Okay. I have already said yes. You can stop explaining.
You had me at che.
Yeah. And he's like, well, and there's, it's just for tonight only. And, I don't
expect bring me the fucking like, cheese. Yes.
secret one night cheese platter. I just you got me
secret,
already.
Secret one night cheese platter is the name of my concept album. Holy fuck.
Ooh. Yes, absolutely.
So yeah, I had a fucking blast doing that. And then Monday, you all know where I was. So that's fine.
Oh, I do know where you were.
What?
All right.
Where were you?
But also, I have news that I may not have shared on the podcast. And that is that I have been cast in the Death on the Dam show.
Is that where you were on Monday?
No.
Where were you on Monday?
Podcasting with you, Salsa.
Oh, I thought you meant during the day. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah. Congratulations on the casting.
Thank you.
Indeed. I'm sure we will talk about it once or twice in the future.
Nope, it's banned from here on out.
Banhammer.
Bit like big band or like Harold Hills?
I would tell you.
Rubber band.
But we're banned.
Mm-hmm.
Should we take a break?
Band in Burnsville. Yeah.
All right. We'll take a break and then we'll come back eventually.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
Have you guys heard of honest meditation? Have I talked about this before? I must have talked about this before.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. The meditation with the swears.
Yes.
Fuck yeah.
Breathe
real
deep. And
what?
Just let all that bullshit go.
Yep.
Yep.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I was about to say, those bitches can't even. And I'm Jenna. My favorite affirmation. Those bitches can't even.
Anyway, it's that portion of the show where we talk about something else and we don't know what to talk about, so we're going to let the internet figure it out for us.
Yay,
go, internet.
In a segment that we call We're going to use a random word generator to figure out what to talk about. It's an
op- is that what
it's
we
a
call wor- it?
It's a working title, okay? Anyway.
Yeah, we just called it random word generator.
Again, working title. We'll workshop okay. it. We'll workshop
all right.
it.
All right. You do you, buddy.
Going to randomwordgenerator.com, clicking the button, and we get the word crutch.
I really wanted it to be a slur.
God damn it.
Just to fuck with you from our earlier conversation. Mm, crutch. Crutch. All right.
Have any of you ever broken a bone?
I have not. Yes. Well, technically in my finger, and I was just buddy taped, but it was like a little tiny chip, and they're not even sure if it was a break or if it just kind of was whatever. But no, actually, bone is one of the few things that I have not broken.
Giggity.
Yeah. Not my own. My own bones are something I haven't broken.
Okay.
Let me be clear. Yeah.
That is completely fair.
James looked confused, and I was like, oh, no, wait, I see the problem.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What about you, James?
Hmm.
You caught him as he was drinking.
Yeah, I've broken bones before, and some of them when I was 5. I let go of a zip line and fell and broke my leg. And
hilarious.
Two different bones. Yeah, in the same
comedy.
Well, I was following Salsa's advice that I would one day receive. So
I'm okay with that. However, James, the saying is, if you can't be funny, be durable, and you failed on both counts.
Yes. Because continually failing you is my shtick.
Yes. Well,
yeah.
I mean, most people that's fail me.
I gave you a D-.
Thank you. Aw. Mm.
Oh, no, Salsa, because most people fail him, but I gave him a D-.
It was
with falling colors.
That one was on a curve, though.
Yeah. James, you're at a D+, but you did a lot of extra credits, so.
That's probably true.
You hear that, James? She gave us both the D.
Oh my god, ew. That's gross. Mm-hmm.
What? I said the same thing you did. I don't understand.
God. So how about we talk about comedy as a
crutch?
How about we talk about comedy as a crutch? That ties back into your random word generator, Salsa.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you ever use comedy as a crutch?
No. God no. No, why would I do that? I'm completely whole and perfect and sustainable. Everything is. I'm not compensating for insecurities or lack of confidence by making jokes out of everything. Good God, no! Who do you take me for?
This is about to get real meta real quick.
get meta, honey. It's been meta. I never met a more meta one.
Mo Meta. Mo Meta is the name of the latest protagonist princess that saves herself from my latest fantasy novel.
Nana nana Mo Meta, banana fana fo fan, me my Mo Meta. Meta.
Okay.
Yeah, no, comedy is a crutch. No,
meta.
God.
I've never even met her.
Buddy. Okay.
Wait.
Damn near killed her.
Okay, were there rails anywhere? Did anybody see some rails? Pretty sure we had some rails at some point.
At some point.
Still looking for the rails.
Yeah.
So if we could find the rails and get back onto the rails.
Wow.
Head towards the rails.
Yeah, at least meander in that direction. If we could meander towards some rails, that would be great.
I mean, to be fair, we have yet to find the rail. We're like in the dockyard right now, going like there's 15 different rails. Some going that way, some going that way. Which one are we getting?
Boats here. You would expect that rails would happen.
I know, right?
Well, I think we cut a little close on that comedy as a crutch thing because we are all doing everything we can to avoid talking
It's
like, let me throw some more comedy at you so I don't have to actualize this. Yeah, buddy.
Okay, I have a childhood. I can't sustain that for very long. I didn't have a good childhood, but it was getting real. Yeah.
Well, Jenna, what I will say about your individual childhoods is that Salsa's was rougher because you didn't turn into salsa.
Oh, that's a real good call, actually.
Turned into you.
Cool.
Yeah.
Nope. Hmm. That's a solid win there, James.
Yeah, based on the output alone.
Some serious shit went into the creation of this, whatever this is.
I just assumed it was mostly apathy and neglect. Kind of like when you have leftovers and you put them in the fridge and you forget about them for a while, and then like 3 months later you have a new civilization. That's what I assumed happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That seems
I think, right? I just called you cultured, which is as close as I'm ever going
to
get.
Yeah, I was trying to figure. I was like, did you just call me civilized?
My father is
really confused now.
As close as it gets.
Knocks the dust off it, throws it through a microwave, and then puts it on a pizza.
Apparently I'm really moldy cheese that's civilized. I guess I'm okay with that.
There are worse things to be on this planet.
That's true. That is extraordinarily true. Look, I
did neither of you hear, or did you just not care?
No, we heard.
We heard.
It was just there wasn't really much to say in the moment because it was. Yeah. True.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So comedy is a crutch. We're never getting through this one. This is not happening.
I feel like we're just not. Yeah.
Okay. Are there other crutches you use outside of comedy?
Music, constantly.
You are you using a crutch for an air guitar? What the hell? What are you talking about?
Well, for example, Salsa and I used to work at Regis in their IT support department, which no longer exists and is a smoking hole in the ground.
It doesn't?
No, they don't have an IT department.
Not aware.
Yep. Different departments handle that now. Right.
Good luck to them.
Right, exactly. I thought. Yeah.
Can I pause for a second? I had the same thought when they restructured a previous place that we all worked at.
Yeah.
After I left.
Uh-huh.
And I was giggling all the way until y'all joined.
Yeah.
I was like, oh,
the situation.
She passes. Each one she passes goes. And we're back.
Fucking Craig.
And we're back.
And we're back.
And we're back.
And we're back.
Where were we?
I was saying that when I was
depending on where Craig
place,
stopped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I was working at the place that we first worked together, I would have to leave the building and like pump myself back up with music. Eye of the Tiger is a great example. There's a Chili Gonzalez remix of Rolling and Scratching by Daft Punk, which actually uses audio clips from the movie Rocky. I think Rocky 3. It's fucking great. And it is really like inspiring and encouraging. And I would have to listen to that, Sons of Skyrim, all kinds of different things in order to just bolster myself internally enough to go back in, just to walk back in and resume my day. Because I liked my coworkers, but I fucking internally could not manage that job.
There was a reason I volunteered for every special assignment that I could get my hands on. So I just wasn't doing that.
In the hopes that this might be the one that kills you. Yeah. I get that.
Mm-mm.
So, and I started doing that, and for every job, every time there was a stressful day, I very actually cannot get through my day now without headphones.
I kind of get that. I don't know if that's a crutch or a tool when you're in a damn near abusive situation like that. Like, that's not, I don't know. What is the difference between a crutch and a tool that you use, like a mental health tool?
That is an interesting philosophical question.
Yeah.
Right?
Because technically a crutch is a tool. I think the line has to be drawn where one is using what is available to you to proceed I think the line is that the crutch is not getting to the root of the problem. It's just masking the problem. Whereas a tool is actually utilizing what you have to deal with the problem, as opposed to hopefully get past the problem. Does that make, I'm not saying it well, but you kind of know what I'm saying.
I kind of get what you're saying. I think I mean, you're definitely correct on that. That's not a thing you want to do. But I think for me, how I would draw this line is more of a dependency or addiction to using a specific thing. It's one of those all the world's a hammer type situations.
Sure.
As opposed to, so like you kind of default to that specific thing, as opposed to consciously within your mind looking around for the best tool, you're just smashing everything with a hammer because it works, kind of. There might be long-term repercussions, but it works.
I think I'm picking up what you're saying.
And I would elaborate further just based on the way that I view it. I think I, one, agree with Jenna. Two, and I would say the name crutch is a really telling way to look at it. If you are injured, if you have an injured leg, you want a crutch. You want a tool that will help you to walk and get around. But if once your leg is healed, or once you have other options, using that crutch is not your best
means. It's detrimental.
Anymore. Yeah, and be a problem. And so I think that when people say something is a crutch, like if somebody says you're using comedy as a crutch, it's not that comedy isn't a good coping mechanism. I think that's them telling you that you can walk without it.
Right.
That they want you to try to walk without it. And so that's,
I mean, correct. I that's could do that.
Or.
Yeah.
I'll actually say, I think one of my biggest crutches, here's me getting real with y'all for a minute. Disassociation. It was a very important tool for me to develop content warning abuse. But it was very important for me to develop that tool when I was getting physically abused by my mom, right? Yeah. It was, and when I was getting the emotional and the mental and the psychological stuff from her, and then getting those things from other partners in the future, like disassociating is, it can actually be a helpful tool to be able to just kind of take a step back and not to overreact emotionally. Well, it's not really overreaction if you're, you know, kind of in that state, but not to allow the emotions to do the reaction for you and to find better places and ways of handling the situation. And that's definitely not something I've always been able to do. But with the use of dissociation, I can do that better. The problem is that I got real good at it. I got real good at just letting my brain kind of go over here for a little bit. And I got so good at it that I think that there are a lot of people that see me as cold or calculating or without empathy. Because when my brain is over floating in disassociation world, it is hard to, the whole point is to be able to separate out those emotions, right? So yeah, that's what they're saying. That's fucking fact. I can't argue that. So I think that for me, disassociation has been very helpful in being able to fucking survive. But because I've used it so much, I think I do have a tendency to depend on it or default to it in situations that maybe I don't need to. It is also hard for me to tell the difference between those situations sometimes.
Yeah, I suffered through a fair amount of bullying and stuff like that throughout elementary school. I was the kid that had like zero friends, and that's not even an exaggeration. Same, yeah. I had zero friends, and there was a moment, I want to say around fifth or sixth grade, where I just realized that I didn't care anymore, and everything just kind of went numb, and I think that's where a lot of the apathy and stuff that I have now comes from, is just that shutting down emotionally and just being like, nope, not dealing with this bullshit anymore.
Right.
And so yeah, I think that's still there. I feel like I'm, you know, not a terrible person because of it, but I think it's
you're a terrible person for so many other
reasons. Right,
not because of that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like Jenna said, yeah.
To be absolutely clear, yes.
Well, I'm former guest of the, a one-time guest of the podcast, JL, started the Brain Blown podcast and, talks a lot about trauma and dissociation as a tool that the brain uses in order to survive functionally, especially in this third episode that just landed like a week ago, about safety, the psychology of safety, and fucking fascinating, and holy shit, there's so much there. Fuck. So if you're interested in the chemical and like neurochemical and neurological architecture that's behind what Jenna's talking about, maybe check that out. But also, yeah, holy shit.
I was having a conversation with Joe yesterday, because that's what I did for Mother's Day, is because my daughter works third shift now, like she was asleep for most of the day. So Joe and I got day drunk, and he's like, I'm buying, happy Mother's Day. I'm like, yes. But we talked about what motivates people, right? Like very, very basic skill motivations. And I was like, you know, he's like, there's just so many shitty people in the world. And I was like, here's the thing though. I don't think there are. I think that we have people that are either in a place that is not safe and secure,
mm-hmm.
or perceive themselves to be in a place that isn't safe and secure. And a mm-hmm. lot of that is based on our delightfully capitalistic society, right. where all of that financial safety that you have built up can be taken from you at any goddamn moment. So you're never really safe in our society.
Mm-hmm.
And this we were talking about libertarianism, and like crossover between like, there's so many libertarians that are like, but yeah, universal healthcare would be cool. And I'm like, I don't think you're grasping the full libertarian thing. Okay.
That's because 90% of libertarians don't know what the fuck libertarians want.
Right. Libertarian is so cute.
Diet,
isn't it? Yeah,
it's so idealistic. Honestly, like people don't think of it as idealistic, but like your whole premise is that if you don't regulate anything, people will just be good.
Well, or that it will just fail on its own merit if it hurts people, which clearly isn't the case.
Or hold up, people will just do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
What? That's cute. So this was my whole thing is that where it falls mm-hmm. down is where it comes to how we perceive safety and security.
Mm-hmm.
My wholehearted belief is that 98% of the population, when feeling safe and secure and having their needs met, will just be nice. They're just going to be nice.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least not malevolent. I think mm-hmm. that like actual malevolent personalities are maybe like 2% of the population.
Yeah, they're there, but drastic minimum.
I think it's the Six Sigma. We've fucking made it. Like, you're doing good overall. Like, honestly, except that we are absolutely failing to meet safety and security, for whatever class. Whether it's people that actually do not have things or people that are afraid that their things are going to get taken away and then mm-hmm. they will not be able to take care of themselves. Like we have failed in an astronomical level on the concept of safety. We develop these tools. We start to make assumptions of what other people are thinking or what their intentions are. As a means of trying to protect ourselves, we use these crutches to try to have a sense of control over what's happening around us so that we can fake that sense of safety. I didn't have anything beyond that. That's just something Joe and I talked about yesterday, which is a thing I love about my partner is that we have those conversations. But
are you using apologizing as a crutch?
I don't generally though, do I? That's weird. I learned it from watching James.
Well,
no, that's yeah.
So,
I had a mouthful of ginger.
I think helping people is a crutch that I lean on. If I'm having a shitty day, uh-huh. I want to help people so that it helps me to justify my own existence and to feel like my day has been worth something. It's especially in a Calvinistic society, it's really easy to feel valuable and valued when you have done something of worth to society or for someone else. And that's not going to stop me from doing it.
Right. No, I do the same thing, but I think my brain twists. I think I do also do it for some of those same reasons that you stated.
Mm-hmm.
But also when I watch somebody have joy, or relief, mm-hmm. or whatever, I can't help but not feel those things with them.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Empathy.
And so
yeah.
The empathy aspect for me is kind of like, that's how I get my fix, man. Like, give me all your happy feels, and my mm-hmm. my empathy aspect will just boost my dopamine with that, like straight the mm-hmm. fuck up. Am I doing it for me? And maybe that person doesn't care.
No.
They frankly don't. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If I give money to a homeless person that's waving around a cardboard sign, they do not care my motivation.
Mm-hmm.
They're just excited to get the cash, right? And then at the end of the day, like, mm-hmm. it's kind of this balance between intention and motivation versus action and what's happening, you know, the yeah. context of the situation.
Because I agree. Because I think what Jenna's describing is chasing a positive, whereas James often avoids a negative. You know what I mean? Like Jenna's looking for that dopamine hit, that positive, like I'm doing good, and James is avoiding, I feel worthless if I don't do this.
Way to make being a drug addict a good thing.
No, but you know what I mean. Like, me, like James it's is like, if he doesn't do this thing, then he feels like he hasn't done anything and he feels like he hasn't accomplished anything. And this this negative that's hanging over him that he needs to like try to get away from.
I think you might be black or whiting this one, because I definitely
I am definitely oversimplifying it.
Yeah,
I'm definitely like, oversimplifying.
When I see somebody who needs help, my empathy kicks in, and I go, "This person is in a bad mm-hmm. situation." If I were in that situation, someone did stop to help me, I would feel really good about that, and you know, so I'll help somebody change their tire or
sure. No, it just when we first started to
when you
talking
first
about
stated
this,
it did yeah. kind of have
it
the,
sounded
the
like
element
yeah
that,
right
that
and it's
was
afterward
about.
It's knowing that afterward I understand that it's not completely altruistic, just like Jenna said, it's mm-hmm. not completely altruistic because I do feel good about having done something that made somebody mm-hmm. else's day better, that their joy, I get, you
sure.
know, that contact high off of their joy.
It just, from, when you first started, you were saying like, you know, if you were like doing a bad day, you like felt like you had to go do this things to make others feel better, to avoid the gotcha. Negative feeling of, yeah. of being useless or something like that is the way I heard it.
What I will say that does fall in line with that though, is that if I see somebody who is in need of help ever, good day or bad day, I will have a bad day if I don't help.
Mm-hmm.
Like
so James.
Yeah.
Hopefully I'm getting the keys to my house this Sunday. What are you
on
doing?
On the 15th. It's in my calendar. Yeah.
I was saying that as a way to try to exemplify the ways that could be used in a manipulative situation. We've already talked about this. So, you know, whatever. That's not. But I was just using that as an example.
Wait, on the 15th?
Yeah, I don't.
Hey, James, I need you to come over to my place.
Because you're going to help Jenna move?
No. I need you to do with something completely unrelated, and I'm going to need you all day.
Well, I also have rehearsal at 7 p.m. and have to figure out what my date timing is going to look like. But
he might be able to get you 13 minutes between 11:17 and 11:30.
Correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Part of the reason I have difficulty relaxing ever is the
James, my dear friend, yeah. I have been privy to your scheduling contemplations.
I think that's
exactly how you would do that.
I think that's really where we're all coming down on this, James, is that it is detrimental to you in many ways. To do, like, I'm not saying don't help people. God, no, I'm not saying that. But
yeah, don't be salsa.
There needs to be a moment where you go, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm getting better about that.
Well, and I think everyone has their own different thresholds, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
I think that James does have a very high threshold for it. I think we should talk about James as if he's not here. But
oh shit, he's here!
Fuck! I thought that was Craig.
I could go get a drink, Jenna. That might be the meanest thing you've ever said to me.
I've been just, you know, surfing the internet over here. I forgot James was listening in.
Hearts, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Big hearts against the red even. Okay. anyway, yeah, no, like it, I think that's the whole thing. Like I said, my disassociation can definitely be detrimental. Your apathy can be detrimental. James's overhelp can be detrimental. Like, mm-hmm. I think that is where it crosses over from tool to crutch, is when it starts to become a dependency and detrimental to your overall health.
Mm-hmm.
So
when you're using it and you no longer should.
I hate the word should. Oh, God, I hate should. Yeah.
But I agree.
When it may be more beneficial for you to move on from that particular.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. When it becomes more of a hindrance than a help.
Yep.
Well, dear listeners, if you have any thoughts on our babbling and rambling and who God knows what the fuck we just got done talking about. And I'm sure you have thoughts.
Comedy.
Because you've got thoughts about this, I'm sure. Let us know. Go to the Facebook, type your thoughts. Go to Discord, type your thoughts. Go to email, message us directly. Mm-hmm. You know. Get
carrier
those thoughts
pigeon.
Out. Use us as your crutch.
Oh, this just got weird. I need to go. Nope, I just need to go.
Okay, we're going to go. We're going to go.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast. Or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for apropos of nothing.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
James, we can't hear you, darling.
Oh, there we go. And I'm James.
And I'm Jenna.
Oh, Jesus Christ. We are professionals.
Well-oiled fucking machine. We're so well-oiled, you could take us off-roading.
I was trying to find a good segue to the, but I didn't know. It's time for a fast five.
Fast five.
I don't know
if we're going to be in sync or out of sync as far as the audio recording is concerned.
Digital.
We're not in sync when we're all together. It's, yeah. Today's fast five comes to us from.
Hold on, Salsa's got the thing.
Well, that's
James.
Working.
That was very loud.
Woohoo!
That was, you may have taken a level out of my hearing loud. I don't think you need to put it that close.
Just do what
mic.
I do and mute Salsa.
Oh.
I tried that with Jenna once. It didn't go well.
For half an hour, asshole. Half a fucking hour. You didn't even notice.
Wow.
Today's Fast Five comes to us from Guy Incognito.
Ooh, a guy incognito.
Gee. Is it Guy or Gee It might be Guy. Guy, yeah, Incognito.
Guy Incognito.
My name is Guy Incognito.
As played by Peter Sellers.
Oui.
Oui. Yes, it is a boom.
It is a chimpanzee minky. Okay, well, Guy Incognito says... You gonna be okay there, James?
No.
Okay.
All right.
Guy says, opening thoughts, I have nothing to say. Oh, hold on. I have nothing to say. No way to say it, but I can say it in three languages.
Oh.
That's their opening thoughts.
That's pretty much the classiest place you could be.
Mm.
Yeah.
Question.
I could do this in three languages, but I ain't gonna.
Mm. Question number one.
Number one.
Was that too loud?
That was okay.
Okay. Shod or unshod?
Huh.
Okay. Is it better? The feeling that you have. Okay. Is it better at the beginning of a festival day when you're pulling on your boots and you're getting ready to go out there and play? Or is the better feeling at the end of the day when you're taking off your boots and you've done all of the things and you can finally relax?
That one. Absolutely. 100%. I also just prefer being barefoot.
That's fair.
I used to. I was a barefoot.
I still do, but I used to, too.
No, I, like, we had gravel
thank
roads
you,
and that and stuff, and I walked everywhere as a kid, but I still...
I don't know many kids that aren't always barefoot.
Yeah.
Like, kids that's just, fair. In general, seem to prefer... Obviously, this isn't every kid. Don't send me a message saying, well, my kid would... Yes, some
hashtag
kid. I'm
not
just
all
saying,
children.
Most kids seem to like being barefoot.
Yeah.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, I grew out of it really quickly because I had multiple surgical procedures on my feet. And that kind of, yep, now I
that would do it.
Want them to be protected. So I wear boots everywhere.
I'm sorry. You didn't bring this up during crutches?
I was going to, but you asked about broken bones.
And then I followed up with comedy as a crutch, which definitely shifted us over.
Yeah.
I get this.
So, you know, the thought occurred to me, but I answered the question I was given. Yeah.
You invited him.
I got really good on crutches.
This is all your fault.
So, no.
I think Jen is muted.
I always want to wear shoes and boots and things like that. I hate having bare feet. Even at home, I'm wearing slippers.
No, Jen is
right
still
now.
Muted. Jen is still muted.
Can you hear me now?
Yay! Yay!
Jesus fucking Christ, I hate this goddamn headset. Ugh.
Yeah, no, I'm wearing slippers
whatever.
Right now.
Okay.
I fucking hate being barefoot. Always.
Oh, I'm barefoot right now.
Yeah,
I'm wearing socks right now, but that's because it's cold in the basement right now.
Yeah. I definitely prefer barefoot, which maybe contributes to me feeling cold a lot of the time because I'm just like, I don't want to wear a sock, but I'll wear this sweater and this winter coat over it, like. But yeah, no, I definitely prefer having my feet a little freer. One of the things that I love about warmer temperatures is that I can wear flats without socks. And then very sneakily, when I'm sitting in places, just kind of take the flats off and have my feet on top of the flats. And yeah, I like having my toes free. I think it also doesn't help that I have, like, I'm developing bunions where my toe is just doing the earth thing at the joint.
Like Paul Bunyan's?
They're very big.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. So I think having them confined, like they're just like, oh, I don't wanna. Also, I'm a chick.
What?
And I wear, surprise. I know I don't look it right now, but I'm a lady.
You're a lady, yeah.
Yes.
Whoa.
But we are so often in society expected to wear shoes that are constricting and tightening and everything else. That for me, my barefootedness to a certain extent is just an act of rebellion.
Mm.
Fuck That's you and your foot binding. By way of stiletto.
Mm. All right. Question number two.
Mm.
Eggs or avocado?
Oh, no, don't make me choose.
I know, right?
I literally cook my eggs in avocado oil.
Mm-hmm. I know what James is going to say.
When Joe makes me my over-medium eggs, he often also slices up avocado to go with it.
Mm.
I don't know if I can separate this out. Fuck! I'm having issues right now. Go ahead. I'm feeling clumped.
Yeah, I think on toast, I wish I could eat avocado toast.
Yeah.
I would love that, especially with salmon. Like, damn. Holy fuck. Like, that sounds amazing. However, I can't. So, probably scrambles. Yeah.
See, I'm... Okay, so...
Welcome eggs, to my world, James.
Eggs.
Welcome to my world.
Delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Avocados, delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Shape, similar.
I was going to say, yeah.
No matter what you have to make it better, put an egg on that shit.
That there is that. Always put an egg on that.
But on the other hand,
yeah.
Avocado means testicle, and that's hilarious.
Ooh.
Does it?
Yeah, it does. Which actually does bring about the idea of a more masculine versus a feminine as associated with
genital. Egg is feminine, whereas, we got a gender thing going on now.
Consider slang for balls in many languages is eggs. Like, yaitse in Russian is slang for testicles, but it means eggs. Huevos. Got kicked in the huevos.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody did not understand anatomy.
I think lots of people don't understand anatomy.
Because no matter which way you slice it, testicles.
And please don't slice testicles.
Create eggs.
What you see, says the waiter, the bull does not always lose.
Yes. But it's a shape thing, though. Yeah, no, I'm sure you've heard the kicked in the huevos thing.
Yeah.
I don't think I have, actually.
Oh, really?
Must
be a dude thing, then.
I know. Yeah, I do not have testicles.
Yeah.
And I never took Spanish. I love hanging out with my mostly Spanish-speaking janitorial staff. In several different jobs that I've worked, actually. But I don't, they always speak English to me because it's very kind of them. One of them even tried to teach me some Spanish words and it was delightful. But yeah, I don't have any background for this, actually.
I wonder
so.
If it's more of like a pidgin, English adoption of a word from another language. Like, it might be a Californian or a Texan thing.
I mean, I could see that.
Yeah.
It's the Tex-Mex of genitalia.
Right. Yeah.
Texas Genitalia is my Blink 182 cover band.
That's good.
That is 1,000% correct. Well fucking played there.
So
I'm gonna go eggs.
Yeah.
I do
you
love
draw
me
an
some
oval with a circle in it. Are you drawing an egg or are you drawing an avocado?
Oh yeah, no.
As the avocado, much as I love avocados, I feel it's a little pointier at the top.
I don't know.
Very
I've seen
similar,
some pretty 40
but it's
eggs.
Got a bit. Eggs, I feel like, have a rounder.
Oh, they've got more of a dimple thing going on.
Yeah, the avocado is
more pear-shaped. Yeah.
It's kind of in between pear and egg.
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
I'm going to go. Where's your avocado?
I got to go eggs. Cause put an egg on that shit.
Yeah.
I will say I think it is more of a treat for me. To have an avocado.
Mm.
Oh, I would agree.
Because I
more
eat
of a treat
eggs
for me too.
Everything. Oh God, or is it?
It's very rare.
If I, well, I don't want my eggs very rare, so I'm gonna go avocado.
I was gonna say, yeah, Jenna. If you get kicked in the huevos, that's a whole different animal. That's...
No, Jenna gets kicked in the avocados. It's weird. We don't talk about it. Question number three. Worms?
Hold up. Where was the ding?
Oh, fuck. Ooh. Shit. Oh, no. You got me.
Not as easy as it looks, is it, bitch?
Right.
They got me.
No, it's...
Tell my wife I love her.
All right. I owe Jenna my soul now.
You already did, but now this solidifies it.
True. Question number three. I'm so embarrassed. I don't know if I can proceed.
Mm-hmm. Well, you gotta. So suck
question number three. Out. Worms or lures? Like, Occam's Razor says this is a fishing question. But Fast Five doesn't usually operate by Occam Razor rules.
Right, yeah. Occam's Tackle Box, however.
Side note, I guess?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Just kind of a side story. So when I was, I think I was about 10, and I think Steve was about 7. We went up to the Boundary Waters with our grandparents. And Grandpa Anderson was going to teach us how to fish. He's an old pro at fishing, and he's going to show us how it's done.
Mm-hmm.
So we go out to the nearest lake. Obviously, we didn't go far into the Boundary Waters. Like, you know, it's kids. You don't go that. You just dip your toes into the Boundary Waters, really.
Mm-hmm.
But we got on a close by lake, and we went to go catch some fish. And Steve caught, I think, maybe even 2 sunnies. Good for him. They weren't they weren't really enough to hold on to, but
sure, yeah. But as a young kid, they're amazing.
Yeah, as a 7-year-old, good fucking job, buddy. Especially 7-year-old his first time. Like, fuck yeah. I caught a baby northerner that we had to throw back because it was a baby. It wasn't big enough. And I caught, I think it was a walleye, I want to say. That we kept. And my grandpa caught not a goddamn thing, which was hilarious because we came back into the campsite where Grandma and Mom were hanging out at, and they're like, oh, so Ralph, what did you catch there? And he was like, I'm going into the camper. And he frumped off. And like, I caught a walleye. And they're like, yay. She was like, I caught some sunnies, but we had to let them go because they weren't big enough. It was just like, what did your grandpa catch? Oh, well, Grandpa didn't catch anything. It was just like, he was so proud that he was going to show us how it's done. And then we were the only ones to catch anything. And we ate that fish, by the way, and it was delightful.
Nice.
Smothered with butter.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Just butter and lemon and nothing else.
Yeah. That's the way to do it. It was Grandpa did
maybe
show
a little
us how to
like
skin.
Sage or something in there, but
yeah,
otherwise,
he showed us how to fillet the fish, so he managed to earn
pull his
some
head out
of
his butt long enough
points back. Yeah. And then yeah, wrapped it in tin foil, cooked it over a grill. Fucking
sounds amazing.
It was delightful. Yeah. It's so good.
I fucking hate fishing.
Oh.
I can't fucking stand fishing, because fishing is you throw the line in the water and then you wait. And do you know me and waiting to have a good relationship ever?
Mm-mm.
Ever? Ever? No. It is the worst fucking thing. James knows. James knows exactly what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. It's I throw the line in the water, and by the time the lure hits the water, I'm bored.
Well,
fuck,
I know
bullshit.
You're talking about for you.
I'm talking about the waiting. It's the hardest part, which is why I always go fishing with a bow and harpoon.
That's not a bad way.
That is a much better way of fishing.
Bow fishing is
because it's way more fun and a hell of a lot less boring.
I will say I did get to hang out with people ice fishing once. I didn't actually do any fishing, but I'm not entirely certain they did either.
No, yeah, this is the point.
See, I've heard that's not the point, but then why the fuck are you there? I don't get it.
You're setting yourself up for the bonus.
I can play cards and drink in my basement.
You're setting yourself up for the bonus. Mm-hmm. That's what's happening with ice fishing. You're not there to catch a fish, but if a fish happens to happen...
Then I have to deal with that bullshit.
All right. Well, whatever. We've talked about this before. We didn't do that this winter. Things were COVID iffy.
Yeah, it was not conducive. Yeah. My daughter still wants to try it.
Yeah, Joe will hang out with whomever else is staying behind. And the rest of us are gonna go ice fishing.
I would love
Joe and I will hold down the fort.
You know what? If we catch some fish, y'all figure out how to cook it. We're not going to catch any fish, so you don't need to do a goddamn
bullshit.
thing. No, we're not going to catch anything, so
fucking hate dealing
matter.
With fish. Fish are annoying.
Joe will show you the best and easy ways. Then he makes a catfish like fucking believe it.
I believe it. I just don't want to have to deal with it. Anyway, I don't.
You.
I have no problems with worms, like, as a thing. They don't squeak me out or anything like that, but I still have to deal with them. Like, you got to go get them while they're alive, and then after you're done fishing, you have to remember to take care of them. Otherwise, the next time you open your tackle box, it's bad. Yeah. Whereas lures, you're just like, I'm done, and you throw your shit in the box, and you throw it in the back of the truck, and then you forget it's there until the next time you go fishing. So I'm going lures.
I'm pretty much lures too. I don't fish enough for live bait to be a thing.
The live bait that I've used is mostly leeches. Yeah.
I think that classifies as worms.
Yeah. I think I'm gonna choose worms because of the movie Dune. And,
oh.
And
the
tremors.
Must flow.
Because of the graboids.
Yeah. And they use lures for that too. Okay. Question number 4.
There you go.
Glue or nails?
Por qué no los dos?
It's not even a preference thing. It's what are you putting together? It's
yeah,
there's
right tool
a proper
for the right
tool.
Job.
Yeah, exactly. It's not even like I prefer to use this tool. This is the right tool.
If you have a wooden chair that's falling apart, Do you take it?
How bad is it falling apart? Completely apart.
Is it just coming apart, or are the pieces breaking?
Glue, or
yeah,
yeah. I suppose.
Like no, what part depends. Of the chair is coming
there,
apart?
So much that depends. I like nail because of innuendo. That's all I got. Otherwise, I'm actually.
But that's a whole different subreddit.
Ew. But no, this is one of those rare times where I'm actually with salsa. It depends so much on the context that without context, I'm going to say if there is a situation in which the question is nail or glue, the answer is probably nail. It might be glue, but
I'm more likely to use,
but innuendo is going to be my selling factor on this.
Sure. I'm more likely to use glue than nails.
I mean, the dust.
Because I would rather use screws than nails.
The dust that I got from Jack that was falling apart a little bit on one of the corners. Yeah. I fixed that up with glue just fine. It was mostly veneer, but, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you wouldn't use nail on a veneer. That would be a terrible idea.
No, that would be horrible.
And to your point, James, even screws and nails have a time and a place.
Right.
Oh, sure.
Which one is the most recent that I have used? A nail or glue?
I have used glue more recently.
I'm pretty sure that I used a nail more recently. I don't actually jump to glue a lot.
Which one are you... Which means of attaching two things together are you most likely to fuck up?
Glue. Because I'm going to get that shit in my eye somehow. Like, there's going to be Gorilla Glue. I won't be able to open my lids. Like, have to go to the doctor's office. If I hit my thumb with a nail, that's just a rite of passage. Or hit my thumb with a hammer while trying to nail something. That's just a rite of passage. We all do that. Hakuna Matata. Move on.
Ordinarily, I would say I'm more likely to fuck up trying to drive a nail into something, but I just totally abandoned and threw away a headset that I couldn't glue back together. So... most recent fuck up was glue.
Oh wait. What is your next likely project going to entail?
The project I am currently working on is glue.
Okay. I think the next project that I am going to do, and I'm hesitant, but possibly going to ask for James's help in this one. This requires a bit of story. I currently have
has a door that needs a ramp up to it.
Fuck you. I have a TV stand that also doubles as like a electric fireplace mantle with the insert. So there's an electric fireplace in that. When I got that, it was already falling apart. The fireplace insert is fine, but the structure around it is questionable, and I don't think it's going to make it through the move proper.
Sure.
However, when I look for other things that I can put this specific fireplace insert into, the dimensions of it are 23 inches tall by 22.5 inches long by like 13 inches deep. Huh. And the 13 inches deep is pretty consistent. Cool. Fine with that. But the height and the length, so it looks like a fireplace insert than anything. But all nails for building a project like this. Also, because it doesn't have to look good. This might come up in the future.
See, I'm over here thinking.
It's actual vomit. It's spit up. It is actually a different fucking thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I remember the first time Jessa, I'm going to say blue chunks as a differential.
Mm.
Nope. I had to clean it up, and I did because there was nobody else to do it. But boy, howdy, was I working on that, just withholding the upchuck consistently throughout that. Oh, so yeah, I definitely have more of a reaction to vomit.
I've got to agree with Jenna. Even with having a nephew whose diapers I help change occasionally, I've definitely had to clean up more vomit, and I've had a worse time cleaning up vomit. And it's just like,
See, I'm going to go vomit because poop is just an everyday thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, yeah, it's poop. Okay, I do that every day, whatever. Whereas vomit's like, oh, this is a thing. Something's going down. If you're pooping, it's every day again. Whereas if you're vomiting, shit's gone down. And people aren't happy.
Something did not go according to plan.
Exactly. Right. Like somebody is sick. Somebody is poisoned. Somebody is something is happening.
Mm-hmm.
Poop is. It's Tuesday.
It's most days. Hopefully.
Yeah. It's Wednesday. It's Thursday. It's whatever.
2 to 3 times a day. Yeah.
Oh my God, that is not healthy or anything, James.
I don't know. Like, I guess every individual is their own, but like, if I did 3 times a day, that would be a sign something was wrong with me as an individual.
Yeah. That's just disturbing. Anyway,
you're disturbing.
We open up the second email, and we have question number 1, shod or unshod. It says, how are you going to step on things in the next 4 questions?
Oh no.
What? I don't understand.
Oh no. I chose correctly.
No, James absolutely chose correctly.
I legitimately do not understand the question.
Jen,
right,
okay. 5 questions. Do you remember what the 5 question number 1? How would you rather step on the next 4 questions?
How would you rather, or how are you going to?
How are you going to step on things in the next 4 questions?
Yep.
I'm a woman. I don't understand.
What?
How do I step on things in the next 4 questions?
Yeah, like vomit and feces.
Oh, so the actual thing is not the questions themselves, but the things the questions are referring to.
Yeah, the
okay.
The questions 2 through 5 of the Fast 5.
Are
we're gonna
step
on all that stuff now.
Oh, okay.
Jesus.
No, and it doesn't say how do you want to or anything. It is how are you going to?
Mm-hmm.
And I already chose unshod.
Yep.
This is not a you can change things. This is you've made your bed. Now you're gonna sleep in it.
Now you're gonna step in.
I also chose unshod, but that is also the most likely way this would go about it. It's
also
easier to
true.
Hose down.
Okay, question number 2, eggs or avocado?
Yeah.
Which would you rather step on?
Don't particularly. Wait. Peeled and shelled?
Does
or
not say. Does not say.
I would rather step on an unpeeled avocado.
Yeah,
Well, if I step on an unshelled egg, it is likely to break and to be grosser and maybe get eggshells in my feet. Mm-hmm. An avocado is way less likely to split apart if it's unpeeled. Oh my God, you are wearing an egg shirt. That's ridiculous. Holy fuck. I don't even know what to do with this. What does it say? I can't.
A lesson is learned, but the damage is irreversible.
Correct. Yeah.
How exquisitely perfect.
Yes. This is one of those shirts that you can get when you do Jackbox.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Sure.
That's so good. Wow, yeah. Somebody's really an artist too.
Yeah.
I have two shirts that came from the Jackbox shirt design thing.
I kind of want that shirt. Shit.
Well,
anyway,
I'll have to beat salsa up for it. Yeah, I'm going with avocado. Avocado. But I think like an unpeeled avocado would be your best possible option.
I might choose
maybe not eggs. James's best possible option.
Yeah, I might choose eggs for allergy reasons, but also just like I'm less likely to like step on it and have it roll out from underneath my boot.
Is skin contact a problem with avocado, James, or is it just ingestion?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Okay.
It is.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah. All right. Question
Do
number
not
three.
Throw guacamole at James. Do not. Please. Throw guacamole at James.
Yeah.
Question number three, worms or lures? Which would you rather step on?
Oh,
I'm switching to worm.
I'm switching to worms. No. I would much rather step on a worm than get injured with a lure.
Yeah.
One of my first jobs as a teenager, I worked over the summer as a file clerk at a clinic. And we had people come in over the course of the summer with infected stabbings of various types. And by stabbings, I mean piercings and fish hooks.
Yeah.
The two big things. I will never get my belly button pierced. Ugh. I know that if you take care of it appropriately, it's fine. But after what I saw, I am never getting my belly button pierced.
Mm-hmm.
Fish hooks are horrifying.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, those are horrifying things.
They're specifically designed not to come out.
Right. Yep. Right. I would rather step on worms and feel a little squiggly.
Yeah.
Vomit than
than
have to deal with a lure in me in any way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Do not want.
I think I'm going to trust my boots and hope that a hook doesn't go through the sole.
I think you're probably going to be fine, unless you're using a shark hook.
Pretty miserable.
Yeah.
But
somebody decided to wear boots.
Right. Because somebody I feel fucking awful about accidentally killing one.
Oh my God, James.
You're so adorable.
Ugh. Question number four, glue or nails? Which would you rather step on?
Oh, glue.
Yeah, glue.
Because I have stepped on a rusty nail, and that was a day that I did not appreciate. I was, oh God, probably like 7 or 8 at this point, and there was construction happening next door, and we went to play in the big dirt pile, and I was wearing those jelly shoes in the 80s.
Oh.
Yeah, that just went poorly.
Yeah.
Oh.
It went all the way through, too. That was impressive.
Yeah.
Shit. Yeah.
All right. Question number five, vomit or feces, which would you rather step on?
No.
Feces, probably. You could just wash that off with a hose.
Yeah, I think I'd rather step in shit.
You can wash vomit off with a hose, too.
I've stepped in dog shit, whatever.
If the feces are dried off, then I would extra prefer to step in the feces as opposed to the vomit.
Yeah, if I'm somewhere and I'm walking in vomit in my boots, I'm having a real bad day. I think this goes back to which you know, which is an indicator of things being more sideways and awful.
Yeah.
I don't want to step in either, but sometimes I've stepped in dog shit. It happens.
Yeah. I've stepped in dog shit, cow shit, pig shit, lamb shit, mm-hmm. chicken shit, mm-hmm. whatever.
Bird horse shit.
Yeah. Quite literally.
The Damn. Bubba Gump thing.
Like, yeah. So I whatever.
Tage shrimp.
But yeah, vomit. No, that's not happy.
No, thanks.
All right. So closing thoughts for this one. Guy Incognito has written, stop saying don't quote me. Because if one quotes you, you probably haven't said a thing worth saying. Because if no one quotes you, you probably said a thing worth saying. I fucked that up. Let me try again.
Wow, way to bury the lead on that one, asshole.
Stop saying don't quote me. Because if no one quotes you, you probably haven't said a thing worth saying.
There you go.
Unless you say don't quote me. In which case you said something worth saying, but didn't want them to... Never mind.
Can I quote you by saying, Salsa said, don't quote me?
Not yet.
All right.
If you would like to send a Fast Five, please go to the website, a1podcast.com, click on the Submit a Fast Five button, and fill out the form. It's that easy. Yeah, it's seriously not... This does not take a degree in anything at all.
Fill more out because I'm next up and I don't want to.
Yeah, and this is the last one that we have on tap. So, if you
need more tap,
that either.
If you want Jenna
Nobody
to,
wants me.
You know. On the other hand, if you want to fuck with Jenna. Then you should also fill out the Fast Five. That way, she has to answer your fucked up questions. Yeah. That's what I was going
to
say.
About shit she's allergic to.
Mm-hmm. That is exactly what I was going to say this whole time.
Dear listener.
The entire time.
I will find you.
Even if they're Guy Incognito?
Guy Incognito.
I already know where you live. I have people. And I know people. And I am a people person. And I'm not saying anything would happen towards you. But I'm also not saying that it wouldn't. I'm not threatening. I'm not threatening. I'm just stating facts. You come to me today, the day of my... I can't.
Does anybody have a shout-out?
I would make a really good godmother, though.
Anybody got a shout?
fucking shout-out to the Godfather series. Way to be awesome. Fuck yeah.
I'm going to give a shout out to the Bellevue Berry Farms in Bellevue, Nebraska, the site of the Renfest of Nebraska, because that site is gorgeous. Mm-hmm. And they have a Renfest there, and they've got a pirate festival there, and they do Halloween, they have like haunted shit going on there, and it's a really fucking cool place, and I really love it. They've got fucking peacocks running around, and they've got, you know, all sorts of stuff. It's a really fucking cool place. Full props to them.
Nice.
Excellent.
I do actually have shout outs. I would like to give a shout out to Remy Chacon, Rob Ward, and a little baby shout out to Michaela Shaughnessy for the amazing job that they did as a cast and a support for the show that we produced over the past couple of weeks. It was a real fun time. If you missed it, you fucking missed it. Too bad, so long. Piss off. But these people, like, The very first read through, at least one, if not both of my actors were like, I'm sorry, what is this about again? One of them went so far as to be like, are you sure you cast this correctly? And it was like, well, let's dissect this together. And they stuck on, everybody stuck on after being basically assaulted with whatever the fuck that script is. And we worked on it. They embraced it. They took these characters and they made a sort of sense out of something that is fairly nonsensical.
Mm-hmm.
And they walked that line between frustration and fascinating in having a lack of information. And I just appreciate the work that they did so hard on this. And the extra bonus nod to McKaylee is like the day of tech week. I was like, hey, McKaylee, can you do this swap thing for me? And she was like, yeah, I can totally do that. And she did it. Like I didn't even get her direction. I was like, it's going to be dark over here. And then it's not going to be dark over here. Make sure this happens before it gets not dark over here. And she was like, cool. And then just did it. She's so good. So yeah, shout out to my cast and pseudo crew on a well done fucking show all around.
I would like to give a shout out to whoever is responsible for Salsa's fucking shirt. That thing is amazing.
Jackbox.
No, but somebody must have
come
up with it during a Jackbox game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Shout out to those folks. It's superb.
I think
it's,
I did
it's
this.
It's real good. Oh, you did it. Shout out to Salsa. Yeah. Good job, buddy.
Yay.
Two thumbs
up.
Nice work. No, it is a really cool shirt, though.
I love the phrasing of the quote at the bottom. A lesson is learned.
But the damage is irreversible. Yeah, it's one of the... it's TKO is the game. TKO.
Right up there with a t-shirt that I no longer have that was given to me as a gift that had Gigantor, like making
Gigantor,
punching pose, and it says, "Let us decide the supremacy of the Earth with giant robot fighting," and it's fucking amazing. I don't know how to replace it because I don't know the name of the shop that it came from. I've never seen another one, but it's fucking great. But I just weird phrases like that on t-shirts, great. So good, shout out to Salsa's shirt.
Yay, good job, Salsa. You did good.
Yay. I helped. What's next? Does anybody have anything to plug?
I do not.
Hey.
Although if anyone wants to come help me move. Reach out.
Or if you want to avoid that, you can come up to Lindstrom, Minnesota on the 14th and 15th. You don't have to go both days. You can go on Saturday and Sunday. Do that. You're a terrible person. Why would you think that? Go see Casimir and a bunch of other people. Do Renaissance Festivy things in a site that's next to a lake, and it should be pretty. And then give me money.
God, I really wish I wasn't moving this weekend. I would. Lindstrom is gorgeous.
Yeah, it's a good place.
And it's so adorable too.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's very pretty. It's got quaint is the
very
word
quaint.
That first pops to mind.
Has a quaint Scandinavian feel.
Yep, absolutely.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Does anybody have any final thoughts?
Love you. Bye.
In that case, thank you so very much to everybody who has been listening to this podcast. Thank you to Guy Incognito for the Fast Five. On behalf of myself and James and Jenna, eat the fucking cake.
I want to blame you, and normally I do blame you, but I...
Just go ahead.
I'm pretty sure this is actually my fault.
Oh, shit.
We've got it on tape.
Oh, no!